This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond simply talking about the Christian life, to walking out as Jesus walked. The challenge of the walk is before each of us. It is especially when we hear God speak and we say, no, that can't be you, Lord. That's just impossible. Or I don't want to go there. Yeah, we're walking with Jesus. And we have with us in this interview, Maddie Weick. And she has had a great challenge in hearing and obeying God's voice. And you're going to hear about that. And following this, another guest as well, around two incredible events, actually. We're titling this program, Bold Obedience. And Maddie, I thank you for being with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, you're in high school, is that right?
Yes, I'm a senior, and I will be graduating this week, actually.
And it was some time ago, God spoke to you, and the Bible in Joel 2, quoted in Acts 2, as Peter preached his Pentecost sermon, talks about dreams and visions. I think dreams are how he speaks at night and visions during the day. He spoke to you somehow, supernaturally, some time ago. Tell us about it.
Yes. The summer after my freshman year of high school, I was just spending some time worshiping with a couple of my friends just in a room in my house, and we were just singing and just doing praise and worship songs, and the Lord gave me a vision, which I had never had before, so that was new and kind of freaked me out a little bit at first. But he gave me a vision of the skyline of Greenville, which is where I'm from, and I've lived here for a while, so I've never really had a burden for Greenville. I've always kind of wanted to get out until this started happening. So the Lord gave me a vision of the skyline of Greenville and a cloud coming over the city to just let rain fall. And there was rain just falling from this cloud, and I knew when I saw the vision that it wasn't just water raining from the sky, but that it was revival and salvation coming to Greenville. And I knew that the Lord was calling me to it, but I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know how I was going to be involved in that. And then a few weeks after that, I went to a youth conference with my church, and the subject of the week was actually revival. And that was the first main confirmation that I had that the Lord was doing something a lot bigger that I could see, and that he was going to involve me in it in a mighty way. And so I came home from that conference, and I just started telling people about the things that the Lord had been showing me and this revival that we were going to be a part in that was going to sweep Greenville and ultimately the world. But I still wasn't sure what practical steps to take in that direction until a few weeks later when I was at church and we were at youth group again just singing praise and worship songs, and the Lord gave me a second vision, and this time it was of an arena full of people worshiping. And I noticed that the crowd was youth, and it was teenagers, it was middle schoolers and college students from all of the different churches in our city. And I knew then that the Lord was going to do this event, and that he was going to bring us together and unite his body as one so that we could lift his name up in a mightier way than we ever have, and in a way that that could ring throughout the city, because there's so many more people and we come together on a common purpose and on a common goal only to worship. And we don't have any other agenda. We don't have any other, we're not trying to win anything or accomplish anything except for just to lift up the name of Jesus. And after that, I still wasn't sure how to make that possible. I was a freshman in high school, so I was really overwhelmed. But I just started telling people. I just started telling my family and my friends, the pastors that I knew from the area, and they were all really, really encouraging and continued to just pray for me and pray for people to come alongside me to help me in this movement. And then around the summer before my senior year, so this past summer, the Lord just started bringing a real team of people that had the same visions, the same goals, that I had been in school with or been on teams with, that I just had no idea. I'd never really met them personally. And I found out the Lord had given them the same vision. So as we started working together, just trying to get some details, we rented the Bon Secours Wellness Arena. We I've just been doing our best to get the word out and build websites and sell tickets and stuff like that, just to get the word out about this event. The event will be August 8th, and it will be in the Bonds Chorus Wellness Arena, and everyone is invited. We want every church in the city that we can get to, that we can reach. We want the word to spread as much as possible and reach every church in this city and beyond, for the youth to come together and lead this movement, for the other generations, that we can come and that we can just worship as one and just see what the Lord will do after that, because he says that when we lift his name up, that he's going to bring salvation to the people. And so that's our only goal.
So for those who aren't local to Greenville and may not know, Bond Secures is a new name for a stadium. It was called Bilo Center, but it seats 15,000. And of course, you can book it and even put 5,000 in there, and it's going to be an incredible thing that happens.
Yes.
And it's for this region, for the Greenville area, it's the best location for something of several thousand people. But the point is, wow. I mean, that's the point. Wow. God is speaking to a high school student, and now they're... Tell us about... You just had a worship gathering informally to just kind of gather some friends. How was that?
It was incredible. The Lord did immeasurably more than we were expecting, as he always does. We have been trying to plan and put together a launch party type of thing to just kind of set off the excitement for the event in August and just kind of get people on board, sell some t-shirts, just get people excited, really. And as many times as we tried to put that together, it kept falling through over and over again. And finally, we were like, okay, well, on the 31st, we are going to worship, no matter what it looks like, no matter who's there. We're just going to get together, and we're going to sing, and we're going to pray. And we put it out on our social media pages, and we found a venue and got a couple of musicians out there and just local kids from around the area. And they'd only played together a couple times, but we ended up having close to 200 students and their parents come out last night just to worship. So we had a time of just singing, and then we took some time just to pray, whether it was for things in our own lives or people that are on our hearts or the event in August. We just took some time to just pray and ask the Lord what he wanted us to do next and what he really wanted for this event. And so he spoke, and the presence of God was absolutely there. I mean, he even gave us a rainbow just to remind us how faithful he is, because we don't have any of the details for the event planned out already. We're still kind of frazzled and don't really know everything that's going to happen, but he just reminded us that he was faithful.
Wow. You know, there's something not just so real, but so powerful about youth hearing from God and standing up boldly. And so we give the title Bold Obedience to this because you have seen something that people might say are crazy when you talk about, you know, a vision from God. And you've obeyed him in bold faith. And that's the challenge we all need, Maddie, is I think even beyond the event is to say, here's a person and here's a team. You've got others around you that are part of a team who are saying, we don't care what sounds crazy or what seems impossible, we're going to obey. And God honors that.
Yeah.
So I thank you. I thank God for you. And he's going to use it in a powerful way. Think about if just one other person or a team of people become affected. That's what Jesus did when 12 got impacted and gave their lives for the kingdom. That has eternal value.
Yes.
And yet so many more may be affected by this event. And I encourage you who are listening now to please put down August 8 on your calendar. This is the evening, right? What are the hours of the event?
The doors will open at 6, and the event will start from 7 and end at 10.
So during those hours, will you pray wherever you are? And if you're called of God, come and pray on site. Even though it's for youth, adults are welcome to come and pray.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yes,
we can
are
maybe
welcoming.
Sit at the open parts of the stadium, kind of stand back and pray and be a critical part of it without interfering.
Yes,
by getting on the mic or doing any of that. Let the youth lead what God is bringing out.
Yes, we really do want to welcome people of all ages, and especially our parents and our grandparents. We've really felt the call to invite them to be volunteers as well, because we're going to need a lot of volunteers to make this event happen. And we just think the Lord's kind of using us as a generation of people that are, we don't really know what we're doing. We're really young, and we really need wisdom, and we need help and counsel. And we feel that if the people that are already above us, they can come and serve and make this event happen on the backside, and be willing to just kind of humble and just serve in whatever way they feel led. We just feel like the Lord could really do a lot in that as well, and uniting the generations as we serve each other. So we'd love to welcome you if you feel called to volunteer. That'll be up on our website as well. And that's unifygreenville.com, and that'll be up shortly. So
unifygreenville.com. And even just finding the stadium, just Google Bone Secure Stadium, Greenville. And even if you're coming from outside the city, you're welcome. If you're coming to pray and support, we're grateful, because, you know, this is about the kingdom. And it's about us having bold obedience in our lives. Listen to God. Think about how God's moving here in the Greenville area, and how He might have you take it back, bring the fire, carry the torch to your area. Many of those who are listening, maybe on a podcast or in a broadcast, you're hearing this and you're saying, wow, that's real cool, but that's not for me. Maddie, how do you respond to that? Not for me. This bold obedience.
Bold obedience is something you have to choose, and I think it's the Lord's heart that we choose it, and I think it's for everybody, because if it's not for the one, then it can be for anyone. You are the movement, and this isn't just an event. It's going to be a movement, and we feel that the Lord is doing much more than just calling us to worship for one night. He's calling us to be one as a people group and to continue this way after the event. And so that starts with the one. It starts with the one person that feels like it's not for them, because that's who Jesus died for.
Yeah.
And bold obedience is something that the Lord has just taught me over and over, to just obey even when it's uncomfortable and even when it's terrifying and you feel overwhelmed. But to trust Him is something that has so much value that we don't even see, and to just do whatever it takes to see His name lifted up and to just know Him, because it's the greatest, it's the greatest thing in the world to just know Jesus.
It is. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Let's be honest. A lot of religion is about me. You know, I'm going to do this. I hope I look good. I hope I get some attention, you know, and a relationship with Jesus is about Him, and oh Lord, be glorified. And I don't want anything but to love you more. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Maddie, so much for being boldly obedient to that call of God in your life. And we're behind you all the way.
Thank you so much.
You are listening to Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. To discover more about Beyond Words and the other ministries of Scripture Awakening, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com. While there, you can learn about our amazingly successful Bible reading program, B90, or Bible in 90 Days. You can review the extensive catalog of our versatile Bible study series titled Be Next. You can also download free podcasts from all Beyond Words programs. Check out B90, Be Next, and Beyond at scriptureawakening.com. Here once again is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
As we continue our segment on bold obedience, we have with us a second guest, Doug Stringer, who is the founder and president of Turning Point Ministries International, which birthed an international movement known as Somebody Cares. It's a network of organizations impacting their communities through unified grassroots efforts. And Doug is doing a lot more. You can find him on the website at dougstringer.com, and from there you'll find a thread into various ministries. Doug, thank you for being with us today.
It's great to be with you, William.
You know, as I have watched you just a little bit, and I went to that event in Charleston called The Response, and was very impacted, as we described in an earlier program, about what God did there and in Charleston. I thought, man, what a perfect person to bring on after talking to Maddie about this bold obedience. I imagine for you, Doug, your life didn't just overnight become, you know, what it is today, but that you had to take steps of faith from early on. Can you, let's unfold your story a little bit for our listeners. I think it will encourage everybody. Where did it all begin? Where were you born?
Well, I was actually born in Japan. My mother was Japanese. My father at the time was stationed in Japan, and he was in the U.S. military. Had been previously in the Korean War. He was an underwater demolition frogman. Later, they became known as the Navy SEALs in the Vietnam War. And through that journey, when I was about three, after I was born, we moved to San Diego. And during the Vietnam War, my mom and dad got divorced, and I remember a lot of things were in turmoil. And my mom ended up getting married with my stepfather, who was also in the Navy as a hospital corpsman. So when I was 15, he was stationed back in Japan. So I actually went to an American school in Japan for 3 years. But there was always something missing. I'd gone to church. I knew there was something about going to church. I mean, I wanted to pray, wanted to be around things at church, but I never really had that personal depth of commitment and obedience to the Lord. And so when I ended up in Houston, Texas in 1978, looking for my real father, who had left when I was about 10 or so, it was during that journey when I was actually working at a fitness center that I started managing some fitness centers. My best friend was killed over a drug deal. I was living with a girl in sin, even professing to be a Christian. And I remember going to my knees and saying, I can't take this anymore. And I felt a deep conviction, nothing audible, but a deep conviction of the Lord that said, you can't call me Lord and still live the way you're living. And I had all these excuses in my mind. And I remember the Lord I felt a deep conviction again that I had to live right for the Lord. I said, Lord, if you can do anything for me, if you can do anything with me, someone who has broken your heart and brought shame to your name, then I'll make myself available the rest of my life. And literally two words that I have to live by every day is I want to be available to God every day and walk in simple obedience to God every day, because simple obedience is the highest form of worship. He took that honest, sincere prayer, turned my world upside down. The girl I was living with ended up moving back with her family, and I ended up ministering to everybody I could minister. Everything I read in the Bible, I'd share it with them. I'd pray with them. I started finding myself leading people to Christ. And one day I woke up and I had about 17 street kids and runaways and gang members and at-risk youth living in my apartment. And a widow lady opened up her home. I put four people there in her garage. And finally somebody gave me a three-bedroom house in the suburbs. And I didn't know about deed restrictions. I put 12 more kids there. So I thought this is what all Christians were supposed to do, and that's how we started. And now the Lord has allowed us to have relationship equities and ministry across our city and across this nation and around the world with a movement we call Somebody Cares America and Somebody Cares International, which is a coalition of compassion organizations, as well as our Global Compassion Response and Disaster Relief Network that God has allowed us to be a part of, and just nurturing relationships to get people outside the four walls of the church and become a tangible expression of Christ into their communities.
Doug, it all seems then to have hinged on your making a decision, as you said, to obey the Lord. To obey the Lord is an act of worship. That's kind of what it comes down to, isn't it? It's bold obedience isn't something that comes to someone who has a great deal of worked up internal courage, but it's someone who surrendered to God and is trusting God for strength and vision.
Absolutely. I remember I'd written a book back in 1990, and I was coming out of working with underground churches in Vietnam, and I was asked in Malaysia if I would speak at a Christian businessman's luncheon and give a testimony, and this very, very distinguished man comes up and says he was given the highest title that the king and the prime minister could give in the nation. It's kind of like being knighted Sir So-and-so in England, and he began to tell me he's one of the wealthiest men in all of Asia, and I thought to myself, why are you telling me these things? I'm a nobody. And he said, the reason I'm telling you these things is because I don't know who I can trust. Hmm. He said, I've become a Christian. You know, we're predominantly a Muslim country. I've become a Christian. I just don't know who I can trust. Do people want to be my friend because of my reputation, because of my companies and conglomerate, or because of, you know, I know people? And so I said, well, tell you what, I'll be your friend if you promise not to give me any money. He looked at me and he said, why would you say that? I said, because I don't want our relationship to be based on what you think I want from you, but let it be based on a relationship that you know that we can have in Christ as brothers. And so we've been friends all these years. And one day, a couple of years later, I was at his offices and had all of his managing directors. And he began to say, you know, simple obedience is the highest form of worship. I said, Tan Sri, that's amazing. Can I quote you? He goes, my brother, I read that in your book. So the point I was making the first time the word obedience is ever used, the first time the word worship is ever used in Scripture is not in the context of singing. It's not in the context of instruments. It's in the context of walking in personal consecration and offering ourselves, as Romans would say, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. And so the first time the word worship is ever used in Scripture is about obedience in the house of the Lord and obedience to God individually. So I realized for me, I wanted to be a living worshiper. It's not an issue of having to live by some sort of legalistic guidelines, but the Lord that did so much for me, I wanted to give back to Him and live for Him and to be that living worshiper, offer myself as that living sacrifice. And to do that, I have to be passionate for Him and more passionate for Him than I am for anything else. Walk in simple availability every day. So Lord, here I am. Use me. And Lord, help me to be able to walk in that place of being that worshiper that you can use.
Doug, would you say that if we choose individually, each one of us listening to you talk right now, we choose simple obedience as the highest form of worship. We say, God, I'm going to obey you no matter what the cost, no matter what you tell me to do. And let's say if I end up in that process being heard by nobody. Maybe I'm going to be a librarian and just file books the rest of my life and nobody even knows. But if I'm worshiping with all my heart, then someone else who has crusades out there and they're reaching millions for Christ, or maybe it's a pastor with a mega church, or it's someone else who's got a following on social networking that's really big, but they're kind of just doing it out of their back pocket. Their heart isn't into it 100%. They're kind of half in, half out for God. Are you saying what I would be doing as a librarian would mean more to God?
Absolutely, because, you know, I believe that the Lord gives us providential moments. And when some people, I have a term in our ministry that we say, while men reach for thrones to build their own kingdoms, Jesus reached for a towel to wash men's feet. Mm. While men pursue exalted and high places, the most exalted one, Jesus, left his highest place to pursue men. The reality is that it's not about what accolades we get. God sees, God knows, and he will always make a way at that moment. And he'll call us forth for those moments that he wants to bring us into a situation to minister to someone. I was doing a Bible study for 10 years in a hotel where, I mean, we all went to church, but I wanted to bring a place where it was neutral, where we could pastors, missionaries, street kids, gang members, prostitutes, and leave our titles outside. And one day, I remember somebody came to Christ. It turns out he was a professional baseball player on a Friday, and I had no idea who he was. Mm. And through that, because we weren't respecters of persons, he saw something that we weren't after him because of money or reputation. We treated him equally like everyone because there's something about being in the presence of a holy God that's an equalizer to all of us. He saw something real and authentic and as a result came to Christ. And we've seen so many other. I had a tow truck driver. Now, if God can save a tow truck driver, he can do anything. And this guy had 19, he was a 19 years methadone and heroin addict. And he was out of curiosity, heard of another person who had just got out of prison after 17, 18 years and was coming to our Bible study. And he wanted to check us out to make sure we weren't some cult or something. And then he saw all these people from different denominations there just coming to worship together, do a simple Bible study, and go to the streets and do outreach together and talking to kids on the streets. And so one night after doing 8 weeks on the book of Leviticus, on the sacrifices of the book of Leviticus of all things, he gets up in the eighth week, and he gets up, and in this old Texas accent, he goes, God is real. God is real. And he's walking around thinking, are you okay? He goes, I realize now God is real. You said that what Jesus did on the cross, it's a mission accomplished for me. God is real. And to this day, I mean, after all these years, he's so passionate for God, loves God, winning people for Jesus and everywhere he goes, and is a man of integrity. Because even when, like, Houston floods, and I live in Houston. When Houston's floods, all these tow truck drivers come out and they jack up their prices and they try to take advantage of people. And I remember he would come to me so convicted, say, I can't do that anymore. I've got to be honest. And then one day he came to me and he said, I want you to pray for me. Brother, can you pray for me? And he gave me this package. He goes, this is the first time I ever officially really did honestly my IRS tax return. Would you pray for me? This is my first time. And I thought, you know, these are the things that the Holy Spirit can bring conviction about and brings life and joy to the believer who walks in that simple obedience. So I think for all of us, it's not an issue of getting accolades or trying to build our own kingdoms. It's an issue, do we love God? And if we honor him and love him and walk in simple obedience and availability every day, he will open doors that we can't even expect. I had no idea that one day I'd be living on freight trains as a teenager when I lived on the streets for a period of time and up and down the West Coast, to all these years later being called by a president of a Muslim country to have lunch, or being called to do these kinds of responses or prayer gatherings or other national prayer gatherings that we're a part of. We don't go after them. Those things come after us. I remember a friend, Bob McEwen, who's a former congressman who worked in the Reagan era, and he said, there's certain things that call you. You don't call it. So certain things that God puts you into, it's a calling of God that calls you into for that moment. And the whole process of that moment is the preparation of our hearts to be ready for when God puts us in those situations.
So, Doug, help us now. Some of us are listening saying, wow, this guy's out seeing all these incredible things happen, and my life is so simple. And I have the sense, for you, it's been one step of obedience at a time. It's almost the experience, maybe by way of analogy, of walking out of a dark cave. You take one step toward the light, then another, and the light gets brighter and brighter if you take those steps. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. It's one step at a time. I tell people this, you know, I kind of play on words on my last name, Stringer, which people have a funny time sometimes. I'll go into up through customs or different countries, and because I look Asian, which I am, my mother was Japanese, but my last name is a Texas Stringer name or European name, they look at me like, how did that happen? I said, I know, I look like Jackie Chan, but I'm really, you know, I'm half Japanese, and I have to explain the story. But the reality is that the name Stringer means a lot of things. You know, in media, it means something. It's a stringer of fish. It could be all these different things. But for me and my family, I tell my 13-year-old daughter and my wife and those that work with me, I say, look, let us become the unseen thread that strings pearls together. Every individual pearl is a story of someone's life, and it came from the crucibles of experience. It came from difficulty. There's a testimony and the windows of that person's life that has brought it to the point where God does something so beautiful. But our job is to be the unseen thread that strings pearls after pearls after pearls. Make other people become pearls. Help them become what God wants them to be and all that God desires for them. And as we make them look good, when you see that string of pearls on someone's neck or a woman's neck, you don't say, wow, isn't that great-looking string underneath those pearls? No, you say, isn't that a beautiful string of pearls? You don't recognize the string that puts them together. I want my life to be one that is an unseen thread as much as, and of course, I have visibility from time to time, but if I can always remember where I've come from, never think too highly of myself, but it's about a passion for God that gives me an authentic compassion and love for people, then I can help make others look good, and I may be the one that no one notices as that thread.
Doug, I thank you for being one of those see-nothings, and yet you're so visible out there. And I know it's not because you're seeking attention. It's because you really don't care about anything but Christ and that he gets all the glory. So thank you for being that example of bold obedience to each of us and for giving us some practical steps for moving forward in that arena.
Thank you, William.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. And if you'd like to help support this ministry, or if you'd like to know more about Beyond Words, visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com.